Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Come on, give him glory, everybody. He deserves it. Come on, give him glory. We serve an awesome God. Amen. How many of you want to be where he is? Anybody want to be where he is? I read somewhere that where he is, there's fullness of joy. And that at his right hand, there are pleasures evermore. Anybody else read that? In his presence is everything that we need. I want to be where he is. Amen. We praise God for the opportunity to be here to open the word of God this morning. We serve an awesome God. Let me just put this water down here. I'm so glad that the song says, "For his glory, I will do anything." How many know that we were created for his glory? We were created for his pleasure. We were created to bring him honor and praise. Amen? It's not about us. It's about him. And during this season, in this time of year, we have to remember that Jesus Christ, he's the reason for the season. And it's so easy for us to get distracted. This morning, I want to welcome everybody here in the house, but also all of you who are at home to Encounter Life Church. If this is your first encounter with Encounter Life Church, we're so glad that you came to worship with us today. We don't take it lightly. And what I'd like you to do, if you can, if you're a guest, I believe we have some gifts for the guests who are here. If you're a first-time guest, can we in here and at home, can we just give guests a round of applause today? Amen. Amen. So we have a gift for our guests here. We also would like to connect with you at home. So if you could do this, go to our website, encounterchurch.net/next. If you go there, it's a digital connect card, and you can let us know, look, Pastor, it's my first time joining in an Encounter Life. If you're watching on Facebook, put it in the Facebook chat right there. Say, look, I'm watching for the first time. If you're on the website, there's a chat feature right there. You can put it there. Also on YouTube, if you're watching on YouTube, you can put it there and let people know that, look, here, who are you, where you're watching from, and this is our first time here. I pray your hearts are blessed. You know, several years ago, we didn't have all them platforms. We got a whole lot of platforms now. Amen? But it's so good. It's so good now. Technology is a great thing. There's some blessings and curses, but this is a blessing that the Word of God can be gotten out to people wherever and whatever platform they're on, whether it be Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, wherever they are, that we can get the Word of God out. So we are just, we praise God for that opportunity to be able to do that today. Look, for those of you who have been giving to Encounter Life Church at home, we thank you for your continued support in this crazy time that we've been in, and you still have an opportunity to give. If you want to do it now at home electronically, you can. We'll give it an opportunity for those who are here to give in person. But if you want to give electronically, you can go right to our website on encounterchurch.net. There's a give tab there. You can use the Cash App. That's $EncounterLife. You can text to give. You can just text the word give to 301-804-2520. It'll send you a link to a little app called Givelify that we use, that you can use to give that way. All of your gifts, we are so blessed and are so thankful for it. Allow us to continue to do the work of ministry to try to meet as many people as we can with the good news, this great news, this amazing news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Today we are continuing in our series. I'm excited. For those of you who don't know, look, put it on your calendar and here. Put on your calendar December the 18th. Now, I want you to put December the 18th on your calendar. And then I also want you to asterisk December 17th, because put this on your to-do list. On the 17th, you need to go to your music store, whether it be iTunes music store, your Google, wherever you go get your music, and you need to download the song, "He Was Born for This." Am I right, Jamal? "He Was Born for This." It's a song, an original piece. It was written by Andrew Smith, our very own Andrew Smith, part of our worship ministry. And it's a song that is going to be put out, and it's produced under the Encounter Life worship ministry, and it's going to drop on December the 17th, the day before the Christmas program. So we want as many people to get that and download it as we can. I just want to, can we give a huge round of applause for Brother Jamal Weldon and the music ministry and worship ministry and the work that they've been putting in? I'm excited. It kind of brought back memories of those old play rehearsal days. I was here yesterday and they were rehearsing, getting ready for this Christmas program. We're excited. December the 18th. And the title of the program is He Was Born for This. An artistic expression of the nativity. What the gospel is all about. What Jesus, what Christmas is all about. And for that reason, why we thought it would be fitting, since we're coming on the 18th, we got what? After this, we got two more weeks. We figured that why not prepare as we talk in our series, He Was Born for This, and talk about why Jesus Christ came, why He had to come. And we started that series. We started last week with our first week last week, and we just looked at why the Savior came, and we looked at man's condition. It all started with our condition because we were a rotten mess. Amen. We are a rotten mess. The Bible says we're born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And because of our rottenness, because of our sin, the Bible, that depravity that is in us, it ruined our relationship with God. It ruined our relationship with God. We were a distant from God. And because we are ruined, our relationship with God was ruined and we are a rotten mess, God would not be a just God if He let us just get off the hook. See, He's righteous because He's righteous and He's just. He's righteous. In Him there's light. God is light, and in Him there's no darkness at all. He's altogether holy, but He's also just. He must do the right thing, and His righteousness demands that there must be retribution for our mess. And so this is why He came. He was born for this, because we were rotten in our sin, and our sin had ruined our relationship with God. And because God is righteous, we had to, listen, there had to be retribution. There had to be some sin. There had to be punishment for the sin. Bible says, listen, that the wages of sin is what? Death. But God, He's righteous and He's just, but He's also loving. Aren't you glad that all of that righteousness He does, He's holy, He must do the right thing, but all of that is enveloped in His nature that God is love. And He's a relational God, and He wants a relationship with you and I. In fact, He made us to be in relationship with Him. And because of that, we were rotten and ruined relationship. His righteousness demanded retribution, so He came to be your replacement. That's why He was born. He came to be your replacement, the replacement for all of our sin. And now what He said, listen, He came to be your replacement. And you know what? I got home and I thought about it. I said, Dwayne, you forgot one point. He came to be my replacement, and now it requires some repentance on my part. Repentance means I got to change my mind. And see, now I can get to the next thing. Now I can receive restoration and redemption. And now He wants me to go out and reach as many other people. He needs me to be His representative in the world to tell other people this good news. He was born for that. That's why He came. He didn't come so we can have good Christmas parties. He didn't come for the ugly Christmas sweater contest. He didn't come for the Christmas gift. He didn't come for that. But He came to give you life. Aren't you glad about that today? Amen. Amen. You can give Him a round of applause. But all of that, amen. In all of that, though, we do enjoy the season. We enjoy the time of year. I said it this year, this week, man. I was outside. I was plugging in Christmas lights. I told y'all last week. Tracy's like, oh Lord, here come the Christmas bins. So I got them in the house, and now I'm putting the lights on the bushes. It's late at night. I don't know why I always do this in the evening. Sometimes, for the last several years, God has given us some nice, warm December days. So I'm out putting lights on bushes and everything. And I'm excited about all of this time. And the kids, our kids, you know, we talk about Jesus is the reason for the season. But for some reason, our kids can't see past toys. I mean, they know it. They know Jesus is the reason for the season. But, Mommy, what you going to get me? Right? And I always tell you what Tracy always says to the kids. Why are you asking for gifts on Jesus' birthday? I don't give you a gift on my birthday, right? But we kind of get distracted. And again, we want to remind ourselves He was born to give us life and to kind of help keep us focused. But the question is now, what does that mean? Yes, He gave us life. But He came to give you life, eternal life. But the Bible also said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He wants you also to experience abundant life right here on earth. Amen. We are here. Listen, he said, you're more than a we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. And I'm here to tell you that the Christmas is not just about the Christ child. It's about the Christ child who came to redeem us from all of our sin. But now that has implications for you and I on our everyday life. Did y'all know that? That ought to give you joy. That ought to give you hope that, yes, I have eternal life, but also it allows me to experience some things. There's some gifts that accompany the gift, the greatest gift of all. We say, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift, the gift of salvation. But there's some benefits. How many know there's some benefits? Amen? Yes, and forget not all of his benefits. The benefits there are to being in relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. And so today, we're going to say he was born for this. Yeah, he came to redeem us. He came to restore us as I repent and give me life and now make me his ambassador. But also, one other thing, he came for this. You know what? He came to give you a powerful present. He came to give you a powerful, this morning we're going to come from the topic, a powerful present, a gift of strength that is available to you through your relationship with Jesus Christ. Anybody need strength today? Yep, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. We thank God for that. Amen. Dear God, Heavenly Father, we come to you and say thank you for your indescribable gift. And as we come into your word today, we, Lord, help us to understand the implications of Emmanuel, God with us. We praise you. We honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you can look in your Bible, Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, I'm going to look at one verse. We'll just be our jumping off point today. We'll have several other scriptures. But in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, this is saying that you'll find a verse just similar to this in Isaiah chapter 7. It says, look, the virgin will conceive a child. She'll give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Amen. That's Christmas. That the virgin will conceive a child, she'll give birth to a son, and they'll call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Today, when I talk about our church being encounter church, we pray that people encounter the presence of God. Do you know today, as Emmanuel, when Jesus came, God came to earth? Amen. And there are implications for that. To say that God is with us, that means God and his nature and all that he carries is with us. And one of the attributes of God that we're going to deal with today is something called, it's one of these big theological words that for those of you who have never heard it, it's called omnipotence. And all it just means is all powerful. God is all powerful. This is why Christmas is so important. It says he came, the baby came to this earth, and we call him Emmanuel, God with us, which means omnipotence is with us. I'm going to let that sink in. Omnipotence is with us, meaning all power is with us. He made that power, the God who created all that we can see is with us. That's powerful today. Because I don't know about you, sometimes in my life, I know I feel weak. I feel inadequate at times, that I don't have enough to carry out what I need to carry out. But I'm so glad that in his word it says, Emmanuel, God is with me. And if God is with me, all power is with me, which means I don't have to be enough. Why? Because he's enough. He's more than enough. And listen, this is why, look, I'm going to see what we got to understand about God and his power and his strength is that he's a powerful God. Look at his word. It says, Jeremiah 32 verse 17 says, ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. What? Nothing is too hard for you. Nothing is too hard for you. See, and I want to make a connection because when we look, you say, well, Pastor, that's in the Old Testament. He's talking about God the Father, yes, but the New Testament makes a connection. When you look at Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 1 says, verse 1 through 4 says, long ago God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance, and through the Son, he created the universe. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God, and he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. When he had cleansed us from our sins and sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven, this shows that the Son is far greater than the angels, just the same God gave him his great, just as the name God gave him is greater than their names. You got to understand that God is all powerful and there's nothing too hard for him. And God said, listen, Jesus is the personification of that power. In him, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in bodily form. Colossians tells us that he is the visible image of the invisible God. Aren't you excited about that? He was born for this. He was born so you can see what God looks like. And how God acts like and how he relates to us. And I'm going to tell you one of the ways he relates, he's a powerful God. He spoke and the sun shines. He put his hand in the dirt and man came out, breathed into us the breath of life and we became a living soul. Spoke a word, birds began to sing. And everything God made, he said, is good. He's a powerful God. But you know what? You need to know, listen, he is a powerful God. But not only is he a powerful God, see, there's a lot of powerful people on our planet. What we deem as power in man's view. We have presidents who have power. We've got dictators who have power. And there are a lot of power. I was talking with one of my patients the other day about power and the abuse of power and the corruption of power. But we serve a God who's powerful and he's good. And there's a lot of powerful people want to hoard on their power. They want to hoard it. They want to keep on. They want to keep other people out of power so they can stay in power. But I got good news today. He's a powerful God, but he's a powerful God that enjoys empowering us. He's not only a powerful God, he's an empowering God. He got power that he wants to share with you and me. Isn't that awesome? The Bible in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. See, I can do everything he's called me to do through how? Not my power, through Christ's power. The baby who came in a manger, that power. The God-man power, Emmanuel's power. He said, I got power. I got power. Listen, the cattle on a thousand hills belong to me. All of it is mine, but not only is it mine, I want to give it to you. Now that he indwells us and he's indwelling us, his presence indwelling us, that power is resident in us. He said he no longer dwells in temples made with hands. We are his temple. And if we are his temple, that means his power is resident within us. Aren't you glad about that? And then 2 Timothy says, listen, 2 Timothy says, he don't give you a spirit of fear today. If you're feeling weak and powerless, that ain't from God. At home, if you're feeling weak, powerless, like you don't have enough, that is not from God. God said, I don't give a spirit of fear, but a power, love, sound mind. So if you're feeling fearful, if you're feeling inadequate, no, that's not God. God says, I give power, love, sound mind. So today, he's a powerful God, but he's an empowering God. But the question is, if he's an empowering God and such a powerful God, why is it sometimes we are not accessing the power? Amen? Because can I be honest, sometimes he's powerful and I know it's available, but I'm just not walking in the power that he said is available to me. I know I'm not by myself today. I want to give us five keys. Five keys. He was born for this. He was born so that you can access this power, so that now he can redeem you. Now his power can be made manifest in your life. Why? So he can get glory. It's all about his glory. See, he's an empowering God. He wants to empower you. And I, before I go ahead, why does he empower us? He empowers us. God gave me three things. He empowers me. Listen, he empowers me to overcome. To overcome obstacles. To overcome strongholds. The power of God allows me to overcome, but then he also empowers me to obey. It is God who works in me the will and the act of his good pleasure. I can't even do right on my own strength. He empowers me to overcome. Today, what is that obstacle? What is that stronghold in your life? What is that addiction? I don't know what it is. What is that relationship that you can't get past? I'm here to tell you there's nothing too hard for God. He empowers you to overcome. You're more than a conqueror. You are an overcomer today. Not because of you, but because of the one who indwells you. If he indwells you. That's the key. See, it's, he got to be in you. You got to have a relationship. He empowers you to overcome, but also he empowers you to obey. He empowers you to do what his word says. See, because that's what a lot of times we misquote that scripture, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yes, you can do all things, but all things doesn't necessarily mean all things. All things mean all things that I have equipped you and called you to do. See, because if I go out here and say I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and I'm sitting out here cheating and lying and all that, no. That ain't, you can't depend on his power for that. Don't put his name on that. See, all things is directly connected to what he's called you to do. So he empowers you to obey him. And I can't obey him unless I know what his word says. That's a plug for us to get in the word of God. He empowers you to overcome. He empowers you to obey, but he also empowers you to outreach. He calls us to go and tell the good news to other people, but you don't have to go in your power. He told the disciples, when you go, listen, I'm going to give you what to say. Sometimes we don't witness. Sometimes we don't share our faith because I don't feel articulate enough. I don't understand it enough. He said, no, I just want you to go and allow me to give you the words to say. Anybody a witness today when you got to give you an opportunity to share the good news and you hadn't even planned it and it just came out? I'll never forget one time Natalie Selman told me one time she was sharing with somebody and she's like, I don't even know where those verses came from. I'm sharing this word with somebody, this good news, and I don't even know where the verses came from. Why? Because the power is connected with the purpose. You're doing what God called you to do, so now I'm going to equip you and enable you to do what he has called you to do. Aren't you glad about that today? He empowers you to outreach. He empowers you to obey. He empowers you to overcome. But what you got to do is get access to the power. Can I give us five keys to accessing the power that is available to us through Emmanuel? Number one, they all start with the letter A. At number one, you must affirm God's power and his presence. 1 Chronicles 16:11-12 says, search for the Lord and for his strength and keep on searching. Think of the wonderful works he has done, the miracles and the judgments he has handed down. You must affirm God's power and presence. You guys acknowledge his power and recognize his presence. You got to remind yourself of who he is. In order for you to experience that power, sometimes we're not accessing the power because we lost sight of how powerful he is. You got to affirm that power. And you want one great way to affirm that power is go into the book of Psalms and just pray back some of the Psalms to God. Just pray back to God what he has said about himself. Affirm his power and acknowledge his presence is there with you. Not only is he omnipotent, all-powerful, but he's also omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. He's the I am God. You must affirm that power. Today, if you're feeling weak and you've lost sight of his power, go back to his word and remind yourself of what he said about himself. But not only can you go back to his word, each and every one of us can go back to a point in time in your own life. Listen, I love that song. It said, listen, I got a testimony. When I look back over my life and I think things over, I can truly say that I've been blessed. Why? I've got a testimony. Anybody got history with God here? If you're here, you got some history with God. Well, God has manifested his power in your life. When you've gotten yourself in some stuff and God has brought you out of it when you didn't even deserve it, When God has provided a way out of nowhere, you didn't know how the bill was going to be paid. God raised up somebody to make it happen. You didn't know, listen, there was sickness in your body. God healed you. You got history with God. And sometimes we get saved and we're living in a land of abundance. So we lose sight. Sometimes I think it's my power and my provision. And I've lost sight of what God brought me from. Even to save you. You got to affirm his power in his presence. Sometimes we're not accessing the power, God said, because God said, you done forgot who I am. You got to spend some time acknowledging and reminding yourself of my majesty and my glory and my power and my ability. That's the first thing. That's why in prayer, a lot of times in prayer, we use the acronym ACTS, ACTS. And ACTS starts with adoration, where I just cry back to God who he is. Because a lot of times I'm going to God and praying and asking for stuff, but I got doubt in my spirit, in my mind. God said, before you ask me, I want you to affirm and acknowledge my, extol me, acknowledge my greatness and my majesty. And when I begin to exalt him, I told you the hymn says, the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. See, you got to affirm his power in his presence. Joshua 1:9 says, I command you, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Somebody need to hear that today. That the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Sometimes it's very easy for us to be fearful. God, my pastor, Pastor Mac, my dad always says, God's work done God's way will never lack God's provision, never lack his supply. Sometimes God is calling you into a place that looks scary. Usually the place where God is calling you is not comfortable. It's not comfortable. Listen, I was looking at this the other day. I said, listen, planes are very safe on the ground, but they were made to fly. See, a plane is safe on the ground, but that's not why the plane was made. The plane was made to soar. It was made to fly. So you could get on a plane and say, I feel comfortable and safe, but you're never going to be accomplished what you are supposed to do if you stay on the ground. So in order for me to be in God, what God has called me to be, it's going to involve some risk, and you're going to put yourself in harm's way, but you got to trust who's flying the plane. And you got to understand that God is the one flying the plane. You got to get out the way and let him do his thing. You got to affirm. You have to affirm God's presence and his power. That's key number one. If you want to experience, you want to access his power. Today, maybe you're not accessing his power because you've lost sight of who he is in his majesty and his greatness. I encourage you to spend some time in his word, reading back his power, what he says about himself, but also spend time going back. And that's why we talked about journaling and having a gratitude journal. I hope some of you downloaded that gratitude app that I was telling you about and reminding yourself of what he's done in your life before. Because what if he's done it before? If he's done it before, he will sure do it again. He's the same God right now, the same God as he was back then. So you got to affirm his power and his presence. But not only that, number two, the second key to accessing God's power, you must affirm his power and his presence. But number two, you must admit your own weakness. See, that's the hard part. You got to admit you're too heavy. See, and when I looked at that point, I thought about being in the gym. And sometimes in the gym, you know, like I said, whenever you want to get strong or get bigger or your muscles to grow, you got to lift heavier weight. And every now and then, when those days, Brother Al, you remember we used to go to LA Fitness all the time in Wheaton, and we would go lift. And there's some days me, Al, and Dave would go together. And if it's a heavy day, I knew that somebody going to have to be at the head of the table, head of the bench, and we're going to put some heavier weight that I can't handle. And from the start of the set, when we counted down, one, two, three, go, he helping me lift it. Because I acknowledge that I'm putting more weight on this bar than I can handle myself. So in order for me to get it up, in order for me to get my strength, I'm going to need you to spot me and give me a lift. So every time I come up, you got your hand on it. He's helping me lift it. But all the while, I'm pushing and my muscles are growing. What I'm here to tell you today, if you want to access his power and strength, you got to admit you can't handle it. It's pointless for me to get on the bench, say it's a heavy day, and I'm going to put 325, 335 on the bench. And listen, the last thing I lifted is 200 pounds. I'm going to kill myself. Matter of fact, forget me getting it up. I'm just going to be sitting there straining, busting blood vessels in my head. I got to admit I can't handle it. In order for that to come off the bar, I got to admit I can't handle it, and it requires somebody else's strength. Today, you got to understand, if you want to access God's power, stop trying to lift it on your own. Take your hands off of it. You got to understand what he says, and he told Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. When I am weak, then I'm strong, because it ain't me. See, God is calling you. Sometimes you're in this weak area. It's a time for us to rely on him. And I love what Paul said later on in that verse. He says, when he recognized that weakness, that thorn in his flesh wasn't going anywhere, Paul said, now I'll boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Stop complaining about your weaknesses. Sometimes we say, oh, I'm not able to do this well. I'm not able to do that well. Don't stop focusing on your weaknesses and focus more on his strength. Now, he said, I boast more gladly. I rejoice in what he's made me to be. Why? Because now everybody knows it can't be me but him. Moses could say, Mr., I can rejoice because everybody knows I can't talk right. It got to be God. I can't even speak without stuttering. So God had to be the one to empower me, to allow me to be a deliverer. Today, instead of looking at your weaknesses as weaknesses, look at them as an opportunity for God to show his strength. Amen? If you want to experience his strength, you got to admit that you need him. I've used this illustration before, but it came up again this past week on Thursday. I think it was Thursday. I was sitting down at my computer in the clinic, and I was trying to go into a chart or something. I was doing a computer, and I moved it this way, and the mouse went that way. The cursor went that way, and I moved it, and the cursor went that way again. And I recognized there was something wrong with my computer, and someone from the IT department had taken control of the computer. And it was not until I get my hand off the mouse that the computer could get fixed. Today, God is saying, if you don't get your hand off of it, I can never, listen, you, when I'm, they're trying to go over here to get inside so they can correct something, but I keep moving it back here. The man say, stop it, get your hand off of it, let us fix it so that you can get the proper performance from the device. God said, get your hand off of it, accept it. Your strength, listen, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Recognize you don't know what you're doing. You don't have access. You're weak. You're weak, and that's okay. I've designed you. I created you, and I don't make mistakes. Though it's a weakness, you view it as a weakness. No, this is just how I made you, and I made you this way so that I could bolster that area of your life so you can give me glory. You must accept and acknowledge your weakness. Number one, you have to affirm God's power in his presence. Number two, you must admit your weakness. But number three, in order for you to access God's power, you must align yourself with God's will. You must align yourself with God's will. John 15:5 says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, it kind of reminds me, I talk about Christmas lights. I talked about Christmas light, but you know, the lights that we have, whether it's a Christmas light, whether it's a lamp, I wish I had a lamp here, the lamp, it doesn't work until I plug it into the outlet. When I unplug, see, in order for me to experience the power, I got to be plugged in. Today, in order for you to have access to the power, you must align yourself. You got to be plugged in to God's will. As soon as I unplug it from the outlet, the light goes out. Today, my question is, are you plugged in? Are you properly aligned? Have you properly aligned yourself with God's will that is found where? In God's word. What he said right here, he said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me, if you abide in me and I in him, you'll be fruitful. You'll be productive. You'll experience power. It's just those times when we get misaligned, when I'm not plugged in. How many have that testimony? It can say, listen, there have been times when I haven't been plugged in and I can see the power has been absent in my life. You got to be plugged in if you want access to that power. You got to be plugged in. And today, so somebody might not be experiencing the power. And again, the power, and the beautiful thing is, the power is always available. The power is always available. The question is, where's the plug? He's not shutting off the power. It's right there. The light ain't working. Oh, it's not plugged in. Or maybe, listen, and guess what? Here's the deal. I love it. It's the proximity. Every now and then, the plug, how many of y'all ever been when you come and the light has gone out and the plug is in there, but it wasn't all the way in? It's not working, Daddy. It's not working. It's plugged in. And then Daddy come in there and plug it all the way in. Boom, the thing shut off. See, you were close, but you weren't all the way in. Still ain't working. So until you get all the way plugged in, you can't access power. Power comes when you align yourself with God's will. Today, if you're watching me, why did he came? He came to give you life, but he came that you might have life abundantly. And that's connected. Listen, with that package, God with us brought dunamis. It brought power. It brought omnipotence. And you can't get the omnipotence, the power, the access to the power unless you plugged in. And you know what? You got to be plugged into him. And I'm going to tell you right now, the pandemic has made it a challenge for some people to be plugged in. Some people have taken advantage of the pandemic and got more plugged in. But a lot of folks taking advantage of the pandemic and gotten a little bit more distant. More distant from God. See, I'm more distant from God. And the thing about the pandemic, you're not in church now, so don't nobody know it. Amen. I love online church. I love it. I love the access that we have to be able to do that, but you better find a community to be plugged in. Amen. You got to align yourself with God's will. I do know God's will says, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but do it all the more. Hebrews chapter 10, do it all the more as you see the day approaching. That's what the word says. So I do know you got to find a way to be in some kind of community. Don't let the pandemic keep you misaligned and then conveniently be saying, listen, I got to be careful. I'm concerned for my health. I know you are, but I just saw you at Costco. All I'm saying, I mean, just help me understand it. I was talking to somebody the other day. They said, listen, they'd rather continue to do the online church, but I looked and they were getting in their car from doing community outreach. But you can't come to church. I'm confused. You got to stay plugged in. And then plug in is not just by being in church, but being in community helps you be accountable to somebody to see, are you being plugged in? Because you know it's easy for me to stay home because it takes an extra step for me to call you. Now, does it mean I should call you? But all of us got life going on. But you know what? It's something good about being in that community. I can see you and like, okay, what's going on? Stay plugged in. Whether you are, look, if you're not in the building, are you in a small group on Zoom somewhere where people are checking you? Amen? That's a sign. I wasn't even planning on doing that. I just felt that just dropped in me. Amen. So what you got to do, you got to affirm. You got to affirm God's power and his presence. You got to affirm his power and his presence. You got to admit your own weakness, and you got to align yourself with his will. You got to stay plugged in. But this is a good one. It seems to be easy. The next one is you got to ask God for the power you need. See, he's saying, I'm ready to give it to you, but you ain't asking for it. You have not because you ask not. You need to ask God. Right here, James 4:2. You don't have because you don't have from God. Why? Because you don't ask God. I worry and fret. I mean, we were just talking yesterday about some stuff I had on my mind. I'm worried and fret. And said, Dwayne, have you shut up and prayed? You trying to figure it out? That's why I said, I love my old song. Why are you trying to figure it out when he already worked it out? Ask God for the power you need. If he says, I got it all, I own a cattle on a thousand hills, and you're my child. Listen, I love the word of God said, now I'm an heir. I'm joint heirs with Christ. He's adopted me. He's grafted me into his family, which means he's given me access, and he's there waiting to dispense it, but I'm not asking. Do you know some of us, the only thing that's keeping us from the power we need is God is just waiting for you to ask him. And why is that so important? Because when I ask him, it's expressing my dependence on him. It's telling God, I can't do it on my own. I admit to you, God, I'm weak. Asking is connected to my admission of my weakness. I can't do it. God, can you? I need your power. I need your provision. God, I don't have the resources. My job doesn't pay me enough. I don't have the resources. God, I can't see where it's coming from. Could you supernaturally provide for us? As the church, ask God, God, could you supernaturally provide for us? Have you asked God? Maybe you have not because you ask not. And then the verse goes on to say, and then when you ask with the wrong motives. See, he said, look, we got to ask God, but make sure I'm asking God so his power can be manifest, not so I can get some shine. Sometimes we ask him, but God said, I'm still not dispensing because you're asking so that everybody can look at you. Amen. See, especially in our social media, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, everybody TikTok and Snapchat and Instagram and everything else, we want everybody to see what we're doing. God said, the one who sees in secret, he will reward you openly. Nobody's doing nothing in secret anymore. Everybody's trying to put it out there. Listen, when you ask God for his glory, not for your own. So what do we say? Look, if you want the five keys to accessing his power, number one, we got to affirm God's power in his presence. Number two, admit your own weakness. Number three, get plugged in. Align yourself with God's will. Four, ask for the power that you need. And number five, act now out of obedience to God. What do I mean? Access the power, meaning act now. You got to act on the power before you feel the power. Look, God gave me this. This is the key point. It says, it's only when you take a step toward obedience while you still feel weak that God will release the power and strength that you desperately seek. It's only when you take a step toward obedience while you still feel weak that God will release the power and strength that you desperately seek. Pastor, what are you saying? You got to step out when you don't feel the power. You must step out in obedience to what God's calling you to do before the enabling comes. Then enabling comes as you're going. It always kind of reminds me of when the children of Israel got to the Jordan. It's not until they put their feet in the water that the water started spreading. God said, I want you to take a step toward obedience and then watch the enabling come. A long time ago, I don't know which one of the Indiana Jones movies it is. It's one of those Indiana Jones movies when he's standing on this cliff and he got to get to the other side and there's nothing there and he just jumps and then the little bridge comes. Have y'all seen it? Which one is that? I don't know. The bridge appears every step he takes. The bridge doesn't appear until he takes the step. And it doesn't come the whole bridge. It's just for that step. I'm here to tell you, God said, take a step of obedience and then I will give you the power. With each step comes more power. He gives you the strength to obey him as you take a step. He doesn't give you all of it at once. It's for that moment. God said, look, act now out of obedience to God. You want power, God, stop waiting for the power before you move. See, we're waiting on God to bring the power and then I'm going to move. God said, no, I want you to move and watch the power come then. Just kind of reminds me of Peter. When Peter, God told him to come walk on the water. Peter had to step out. If you want, there's a good book by John Ortberg, I believe. It says, if you want to walk on water, you got to step out the boat. The water didn't start looking like glass or ice. It was firm. And then he got out. He said, no, you get out now and watch my strength. And when you step out like Peter did, you step out, it's going to get rocky, it's going to look kind of uneasy, but you just got to keep walking because you're keeping your eyes on Emmanuel.
God with us.
1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7, last verses. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. You got to act out of obedience. He cares for you. He's going to be the one to lift you up. Today, my question is, are you in need of his strength? I know I am. I'm in need of his power. You can tap into God's power today by, number one, affirming his power in his presence, reminding yourself of who he is. Second, admit to God that you're weak. Stop trying to do it on your own. Align yourself with God's will. Get plugged in. If you're distant from God, maybe this word is to encourage you, listen, I need to get back plugged in and align myself with God's will for my life. Ask God for the power that you need, and then act now, right now, out of obedience to God. Don't wait. Don't wait till you feel powerful. Because whatever God has called you to do, you're not going to feel it right then. Power always comes with obedience. Amen? This is why he was born for this. He was born for this. The virgin she will be with child, she'll give birth to his son, and they'll call his name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And God being with us, with that comes what? All power. And all power to enable you to overcome any obstacle in your life, to allow you to obey what God has called you to do and outreach to those who need to hear the good news. And when you do that, guess what? Every step you take, it's going to be scary. Sometimes you're going to feel inadequate, but his strength is made perfect. His strength is perfected in your weakness. Amen? Can you all stand with me this morning? He was born for this. He was born to redeem you. He was born to save you. He was born to save you, but he was also born to strengthen you. He came that you might have strength to live out his purpose and will for your life. If every head could bow, every eye could close, at home, if you would pray with me as we close today. I want to talk to two groups of people. Today I said, listen, the strength that you need, the power that is available to us, all of us, comes with being plugged in, to being aligned with God's will. And one of the things that I know in his word, his will, he says, it is not his will that any perish, but it's his will that all come to repentance. Today, he was born to give you eternal life. And I want to invite you into a relationship with him. I want to offer you that life that he'd offer so that you can experience that strength. But at first, it requires you to be plugged into him. What does that mean? Pastor, what does that mean? First, that means you got to acknowledge to God that you're a sinner separated from him. Our sin has separated us from God and kept us from being plugged in. You got to acknowledge that you're a sinner separated from God. Now, then next, you must believe that he sent his son Jesus, that he was born, that he lived, and he died to be the sacrifice to pay for your sins. You must believe that he lived on this earth without sin, that he died to pay for your sins and mine, because the Bible says, without blood being shed, there can be no forgiveness of sins. You must believe that. And you must believe he was buried and that he rose again. And then finally, you must make a choice to invite him as Savior and Lord of your life, to forgive you of all your sins, past, present, future, to make you who he wants you to be. If you make that decision today, he'll plug you in. He'll give you access to his power. He'll give you eternal life and the forgiveness of sins. Today, if you've never done that, I want to invite you. I'm going to pray a simple prayer of invitation for somebody who's never done that today, whether you're at home, whether you're in the building. I'm going to pray this. And if you want to be plugged in, if you want to accept Christ as Savior and Lord of your life today, that's why he came. That's the reason for this season. If you want to do that, just simply pray this silently to him after me. Say, dear God, thank you for loving me just like I am. I admit that I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you sent your son Jesus Christ to die on a cross to pay for my sins. I believe that he was buried and that he rose again to make me right with God. Today I choose to invite him into my life to be my substitute, to be my replacement, to forgive me of all of my sins and make me who he wants me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it from the bottom of your heart, whether you're at home or whether you're here, we need to know about that. We need to know about that. I'm going to ask you, if you're in the building, every head bowed, every eye continue closed, if you prayed that prayer, if that prayer expressed the desire of your heart while you're here in this building, if you could just shoot up your hand, I want somebody to pray with you. You said, listen, Pastor, I accepted Christ today for the first time. That prayer was me. If that's you, why don't you raise your hand right where you are? Is there somebody today? Amen. 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 At home, if that prayer expressed the desire of your heart, we want to know. You could tell us about it. Listen, I want you to go right now to the website, encounterchurch.net, encounterchurch.net/NEXT. I want you to go there and then click right on and go in there and say, listen, I accepted Christ today. I accepted Christ today. Submit that form so someone can connect with you. Amen. Bless the Lord. Finally, I want to pray for you, all of you. Somebody today might be in need of strength. You might say, listen, Pastor, I've been plugged in. I've accepted Christ, but my plug sometimes can get a little dislodged. I want to kind of plug it all the way back in today. You can say, Pastor, look, I've lost sight of his power. I've been feeling weak, and I've lost sight of his power, and I've been reminded today that I need to remind myself of my history with God, whatever it is. Today, and you say, look, I need strength for some situation in my life. Would you pray for me? If that's you, could you raise your hand? You said, look, I need some strength. I need his strength today, and I need to tap into his strength. I haven't been tapping in. Today, I want to get tapped back into his strength. I see those hands. Somebody else said, I want to tap into the strength that's available to me. Thank you. I see those hands. Let me pray for you at home. Let me pray with you. Dear God, Heavenly Father, for those at home, for those who are here, those who raised their hand and said, listen, I haven't been walking in the strength that's available, and today I want to plug back in. Today I come to acknowledge and admit, God, that you are omnipotent and there's nothing too hard for you. Today I come to admit my weakness, and I come to align myself with your purpose and plan for my life. And I make the decision to ask you for what I need. That person is here today, God. I pray now that they will experience your power like they've never experienced it before. Heavenly Father, I pray that they will begin to walk in not their strength, but your strength. God, I pray that they will make a decision to step out in obedience even before they feel the strength, knowing that when they step out in your will, God, that your work done your way will not lack the supply of your strength. We thank you and we praise you in advance, God, for the fruitfulness that will come as they align themselves with you. We praise you now. Because now, God, when you manifest power in our lives, you get glory. We honor you, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we bless the Lord? Amen. Amen. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Come on, we talking about power. Angels bow before you. Heaven and earth adore you. What a mighty God we serve. Come on, he got power. What a mighty God. What a mighty God. Might not be done with that. We're going to come back to that in a minute. Amen. You may have your seat. You may have your seat. Before we close, I want to give you an opportunity to give to this mighty and this powerful God. Amen. He calls us to give, and sometimes that requires us to act in obedience. Sometimes I say, Lord, look, if I give, am I going to have enough to take care of all the things I need to take care of? He said, when you act in obedience, watch me strengthen you, even in all your finances. Amen. So today we want to give to God because everything that we have comes from him. Everything we have comes from him. So when we're going to, Brother Jamal and them will come and lead us into some singing as we give here in the sanctuary at home. If you want to give electronically, you can give right on the website right there, encounterchurch.net. You can use the Cash App, $Encounter Life. You can mail it to right here, 2200 Colmbera Drive, Temple Hills, Maryland. You can mail it right here. Amen. Amen. So we're going to just take a pause, give you an opportunity to give you at home and here, and then we'll come back to close us out, give you some updates about the Christmas program. Amen.